I don't buy from those people. If Christ isn't important enough to just replace him with an X. If you remember your math days, X is the unknown. Paul preached to them on Mars Hill to the unknown God. They made him an idol to the unknown God. On the way up to Mars Hill, they had all these idols and stuff, just in case they happened to miss one. But you see, if you know the true one, the real God, you don't have to worry about missing anything because there is only one. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That doesn't have anything to do with our message, but maybe someday it will. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. First and Second Timothy, God used the Apostle Paul to write. They were written to Timotheus. Timothy, his young man in the ministry that he was training to be a preacher and a pastor. The young man that was under the Apostle Paul's teachings as he did his best to train him and instruct him. And today, 1 and 2 Timothy are still good for us today because they're instructions for us today. And God's instructions are never old, never out of style, out of fashion, or anything else. They're always just as real and true today as they were the day they were written. Not only does God promise to preserve the Scriptures, but also what they contain in their teachings. It's not just like preserving an old book. It's preserving the truth of God that happens today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Excuse me. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despised of those that are good. 4. Traitors, headily, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is the sort as they are, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us. God, we just thank you for these wonderful scriptures and these wonderful charges that you gave Timothy. God, let them apply them. Let us apply them to our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I study more and more and more about the word of truth, things just keep coming up and coming up and coming up in the Bible. Now, this verse 1, in the last days. This is referring to the last days of the earth. The last times of the earth. God told the people that as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be in the end of the world. Now in Noah's day, there was only 8 people on the earth that were righteous. Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. The reason that God judged the world with a worldwide flood in the days of Noah was because of the sin. And they were giving and taking in marriage. It says the thoughts of their heart were continuously evil. Everything they thought about was evil and bad. Now, the world is getting bad. And if you watch the news at all, it's getting worse and worse and worse. It appears that people have no conscience at all. They have no respect for human life. Nothing. Little babies, I mean, they're being killed and shot and beat up and aborted and all kinds of things. These are all forgivable sins. I seen a bumper sticker. It said, abortion doesn't make you without a baby. I don't remember how it was worded. It just makes you the mother of a dead baby. It doesn't take the baby away. It just makes you the mother of a dead baby. But these things are happening in the world around us. In the last days, it is going to continue to get worse. And when it gets as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus is going to come back and He's going to pull His people out of this world known as the rapture. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to meet Him in the clouds. So ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. He's going to pull out His people. He's going to pull out His believers. He's going to pull out the Christians. He's going to go up to heaven. And then Satan is going to take more charge already than he has now of the world. And literally all hell is going to break loose. I mean, it is a terrible, vile things that are going to be happening to this world. Well, in the last days, as he warned Timothy, perilous times are going to come. Perilous. Look that up in the dictionary. Peril is the root word for that. I learned that from my granddaughter's English about root words. But that is the root word, peril. So you look up peril in the dictionary, and it says exposure to the risk of being injured, destroyed, or lost. You know, like peril at sea? Lost? There's been a few shows on TV and different things like that, movies and stuff, about somebody lost out at sea. And unless you've been out to sea or been in a plane over the sea, you don't realize how immense that area is. But you got one guy down there in this bright orange little lifeboat, and they can't find them because it is so immense of an area out there that they're searching for. He's in peril. The world is in the same situation. It's a sea. A sea of destruction. The sea many times in the Bible, and especially in Revelation, is used to compare to the human race. Always tossing, always going to and fro, never settled, always crashing upon the beaches and all those things. Humanity is like that. But it doesn't say peril, it says perilous. That means full of peril. Full of destruction. Full of death. Full of hard times. Full. The first thing that's mentioned in this list, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. as I studied down through this list, all of these refer back to that first statement. All of these characteristics, all of these sins, all of these things refer back to lovers of their own selves. God lists things in importance in the Bible. First thing listed is always the most important. He lists things in order of priority, order of importance, or in the order that they are happening. You really notice that when you read the Psalms. So the top of the list is lovers of their own selves. That is very prevalent in some people during this season. And if someone gives someone else a present or something other like that before Christmas, many times they tend to open it to see what it is, to see how of an expensive of a gift it is. And they decide what they're going to give that person then on basis of what they gave them. And if you stop and look at your life, what do you really need that you don't have? Most of us, not hardly anything, that we really have to have. Oh, there's lots of wants, but not too many. Hopefully. But then there's a few needs that you may actually have to need, you know. But as Christians, God tends to take care of those in a mighty and an amazing way. But the beginning of the perilous times is people become lovers of themselves. As I was studying about this, and I don't know why it came to my mind, but who all knows Miss Piggy on the Muppets? What did she say? Moi. Moi. Me. Me. Now, it's very interesting that they use a pig for moi. Because a pig will eat anything you put in front of it, even piglets. And you, if you're not moving fast enough, an old sow will knock you down and they'll start eating you. Really? Pig is worried about belly. Worried about moi. You take a pig out of the pig pen, you scrub him all up and dress him up like Miss Piggy and do all that stuff and put a ribbon in his tail. What happens when you let it go? Back to the slop. Back to the pig pen. Why? Because it's still a pig. No matter how much you decorate it and perfume it and scrub it, it's still a pig. Because it's a pig. That's the way it was born. That's what it is. But you weren't born to be like that. You were born to be a child of the King. You were born to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You were born to belong to Jesus, if you'll accept Him as your Savior. I watch a lot of cartoons with the kids. They're the safest ones. And that search for, I think it was Nemo. That little fish that's flying around that got lost or swimming around got lost. And he escapes from this aquarium. I think it's seagulls. They're trying to eat him. And they're all just bunches of them there, just going through their mouths. And they're all saying, mine, 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 mine. They're all fighting over this little tidbit here. Mine, 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 mine. We went by the new Krispy Kreme that was opening up. Couldn't figure out what all those people were doing out there. What they were doing? They've been camping out for 2 days. Because the first 100 people got free donuts for a year. I've got more things important in my life than camping out for 2 days so I can get a free supply of something that I'm allergic to. Because it makes me swell. But listen, that is moi. That is me. That is lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves more than God. I've heard it said, I deserve, and just fill in the blank. Whatever you want to put there. I deserve, and just fill in the blank. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, towards the end of the chapter, it reminds us that we are not our own as Christians. You are bought with a price. You have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, and you belong to the person that purchased you, which is the Lord God. You're not your own. We don't deserve anything from God. If we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell today, right now, because that's really what we deserve, because we are not holy, righteous, good people. Now, listen. We are compared to Jesus Christ. Not to me or your neighbor or your grandma or the guy down the road or anything. You're compared to Jesus. And when we are compared to Jesus, each and every one of us, no matter how good of a person you are, and most of you are, I mean, I'm not saying you're all some terrible, wicked, vile, evil, dirty people that ought to be locked away in jail and never seen again. But I'm saying compared to Jesus, we are. Compared to Jesus, we're nothing. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Heard someone say one time, you go in the closet, turn the light off, you got a light in your closet, go in the closet and shut the door in that little bitty room in there and see how much you light it up. And that'll tell you how holy you are. Hey, the new heaven and the new earth. It says it needs no, there is no need for the sun or the moon or the stars because it is lit from the throne of God. This city that would reach from the Pacific all the way past the Mississippi, one city that huge and that wide and that tall that it would reach out into outer space, that's the size of the New Jerusalem, that city is lit by one holy, righteous, pure God that outshines the sun. And we think we don't need Jesus? We think we're something special? Go in the closet and see how much you light it up. Listen, compared to Jesus, we're nothing. We don't deserve anything from God. And each and every one of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, there's times in our life that we think about ourselves. And there's times in our life that we are lovers of ourselves more than our own spouse. More than our own children. More than our own grandchildren. And more than Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, there's times we love ourselves. Well, I deserve that extra hour of sleep, or I deserve that extra raise, or I deserve an extra break at lunch, or whatever it is. Whatever it is. If it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus, if you're saved, if God had not intervened in your life, if God had not worked in your life, if God had not have done things in your life, where would you be today? I'd probably be dead. The way I was going, the way I used to drive, now when I make a mistake, it's just because I didn't, not because I'm being crazy. I used to like a little bit of vodka. I only been drunk twice in my whole life. But I liked it. If I had bent that away, I'd have been living under a bridge somewhere probably if I was still alive. As we think about this gift-giving season, we have, as a Christian, the greatest gift of all in this universe. Salvation. Jesus told him, "What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?" They say in America, you can grow up to be anything you want to be, president or whatever. I just want to please God. This world, the great presidents we've had, they're dead. Got a few still alive. You remember your first car? More for the guys and the girls, maybe, I guess. I don't know if they get so infatuated with cars or not. Other than walking, huh? Where's it at today? What's it like today? What's it look like today? This world is going to be gone in the last days. The last days of this world. When it's not going to be here anymore. It's going to be gone. It's going to be here. I mean, there's going to be a worldwide earthquake. The mountains and islands, it says, are going to be moved out of their places. The Sandias are going to be moved. The Rocky Mountains are going to be moved. The islands are going to be moved. This whole earth. Remember when you studied about the earth and the little thin crust around the earth and the rest of it's all molten underneath? it's going to crack. God's going to come down and shake up this old mud ball. And it says in Revelation under the sixth seal that the people run to the mountains and caves and say, "Fall on us. Fall on us, mountains and caves and hills. Fall on us." And what do they say? "Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." They would rather die than repent. Moses preached, Noah preached for like 120 years as he built the ark. Not one believer. They all mocked and laughed him. Not one believer. There's a false teaching going around out there that says, once you see the rapture and once you see these things start to happen, that you'll get saved. That's a false teaching. It's not going to happen. 1 Thessalonians contradicts that. Those people, when they saw the rain coming, they didn't get in the ark. God shut the door, it says, on the ark. And when the floods came and the rains came, they believed that old preacher. As he says, he was a preacher of righteousness. They believed him. A little late. It's a false teaching. "Well, when I see all these things happen, I'll get saved." God doesn't work that way. I mean, make common sense with God to do that. God's given you so many opportunities now, it's beyond understanding how much opportunities and grace and the Holy Spirit and all these things that He sends to talk to you. You say, "Well, I'll wait till I see all that stuff." You know why they're saying they're going to wait? So they can party up till that time. Constantine, the first one that started sprinkling people, said, "Well, I'm going to wait till my deathbed before I get sprinkled so that way all my sins can be gone." Doesn't make sense, does it? People don't want to get saved because they're lovers of their own selves. They think they're in control of their life. Satan is. "No, he's not. Well, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. He'll come in. He'll come in your life and He'll change your life and He'll take charge of your life and He'll turn your life around to the good, to the best, to the righteous." "Well, once I get this done, or once I get this done, or once I get my life turned around, or once whatever, then I'll get saved. Well, once I get to feeling better, I'll go see the doctor." What happens? You get sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. Then the ambulance comes and takes you. If you took care of it a long time ago and it wasn't that bad, it would have been a whole lot simpler. But people, God gave us a thick skull to protect our brain. But sometimes our hearts are just as hard and won't let the Word of God in. Think about this. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. I want. Boasters. I'm better. Proud. Look at me. Lovers of their own selves. Disobedient to parents. I know what's right. You don't know what I need. I'm my own person. You don't need to tell me what to do. Unthankful. Give me. Unholy. Sin. Oh, I mean, without natural affection. God made mamas to love their babies. It's unnatural. Even in the animal kingdom. And God made people to love their spouse and not beat on them. It's unnatural. Natural affections. God made us to love our fellow human being. God made us not to have hate for someone and try and kill them. Not to have any respect for life. Truce breakers. Not keeping their word. Not keeping their contracts. Not keeping their deals. Not saying what they're going to do. I don't have to do that. Hey, I don't care. I give you my hand on it. I don't care. I sign the paper. I don't care. I do what I want to do. Lovers of own self. Fierce. Anger. Wrath. Despisers of those that are good. Why? Because you show them up. I'm just as good as they are. Yeah, you are. They're just saved and you're not. Traitors. Turn their back on what's your country. Turn your back on your fellow man. Turn your back on the government. Turn your back on people that look up to you and respect you. Heady. Big-headed. Macho. High-minded. Thinking they're smarter than anybody else. Lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. Feels good. I'm going to do it. I don't care what God says. Having a form of godliness but denying the power of their religion. Playing like they're somebody. From such turn away. They creep into houses. Lead away captive silly women laden with sins. Lead them away. Deceive them. Trick them. With diverse lust. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Come with me. I love you. Yeah, yeah. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Too educated. Too educated. Too above everybody else. Too high-minded. Remember the Tower of Babel? When God confounded all the languages, you know what they were doing? They were building a tower out of fired bricks, and they were building it so they could work their way to heaven by building this tower. And make themselves a name. We have the biggest structure around. And he went in, confounded their languages, confused, made them all different kinds of languages. Everybody spoke the same language up to that time. He says, least they'll be able to do anything they want to do. This brain is very, very smart. God put a lot in here. How else can we shoot something up into space and reach Mars and Venus and those places and not miss? Heck, we can't even shoot a deer sometimes. How are we going to hit Venus or something, you know? But they do. Very smart. Very smart. But they don't know the truth. Never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Pilate says, what is truth? As he talked to Jesus. Pride. Pride keeps more people out of heaven. But I guarantee you there's not a proud person in hell. Look in Luke chapter 16, the man that went to hell. He says, send somebody to this place and tell my brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. He warned them. He says, I don't want you to come here. Well, we're going to go there and have a party with all of our buddies and everything. No. You don't even feel like partying when you smash your finger. You sure enough don't feel like partying when you're in a lake of fire. You get a headache and it messes up your whole day. What if you lived in a lake of fire? As glorious as heaven is, hell is just as terrible. Don't fall into the trap of being a lover of your own self. I know some Christians have fallen into that trap. Cause them to drift away from God. Lose their reasoning. If we remember who we are and remember who Jesus is, that'll keep us in perspective. Remember who we are. Remember who Jesus is. And that'll keep us in perspective. Jesus loves you so much that He left heaven to come here. He left heaven to be here and walk among us so He could be beat, whipped, stoned, and killed. Because He loves you. Is Jesus real in your life? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. As Jesus speaks to us here today, has there been a time in your life? Has there been a time in your life that you ask Jesus to be your Savior? If you haven't done that in your life, then you are more concerned about your feelings and your emotions and your wants than you are about what Jesus wants to do in your life. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you just like you are. And He loves you so much, He wants to change your life. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll take this time, God, that You'll take these precious words. And if there's one here that hasn't received You as their Lord and Savior, that today will be their day. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus.